Oh my god, well, YouTube took part of it there. I'm like, hi, my friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast.
Hey, good morning.
The Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I apologize for starting the show laughing. I was showing Dad a clip from a video,
Kanye West
and his new Hitler music video. I don't really even know what to think about much of that. I don't think I can play it on the air. YouTube's already taken the video down. But in other news,
well, no, I got a report on it.
Oh my gosh,
I got to know. We won't play the video. I mean, we could, but YouTube took it down. So I don't know where to find
it.
Okay, here's what it says. they've let us on Rumble.
They let us on.
Kanye West pro Hitler song gets millions of streams on X as other platforms ban it.
Yeah.
Okay. With the new single racking up millions of streams, Kanye West has continued to spread alarming anti-Semitic rhetoric. On Thursday, the 24-time Grammy winner released Heil Hitler on multiple streaming platforms, many of which have removed the track, while it continues to rack up millions of views on X. I guess it's still on Twitter, along with singles art, which resembles a swastika. As of Saturday, the song remains on the social media site, while Spotify, SoundCloud, other platforms have worked to remove it. Heil Hitler by Ye has been banned by all digital streaming platforms, while Rednecks by Randy Newman remains streamable, wrote West in a post. They literally are keeping the N's down. He uses the N-word. I can't say it on the air because I'm not black. If I was black, I could say it.
It ain't going on YouTube.
No, it's funny. The black people call themselves the N-word all the time, but if you're a white person and you quote one of them by saying that, now you're anti-black, I guess.
You're a neo-Nazi skinhead. Apparently with Kanye West.
Forget that my workout partner, one of my best friends of 35 years, is black. I got to watch me in stereotype. The song has been since shared by multiple platforms, you know, with self-proclaimed misogynist Andrew Tate promoting it in a video. He's promoting it now.
Of course he did.
In a petition started by the Anti-Defamation League to reinstate guidelines meant to protect users from disinformation and hate on Facebook and Instagram, the organization wrote, thanks to advocates like you raising your voice, Spotify has removed Kanye Hitler's song from their platform. Now we need you to help hold it accountable for other companies. The Yeezy Mogul's X account was briefly deactivated on February after writing a platform that he's never apologized for my Jewish comments, adding in the distributing. And he goes, I'm a Nazi. Hitler was so fresh. Following a similar anti-Semitic rant in 2022, which raised concerns for West's mental well-being, the artist released an apology in Hebrew last year. Meanwhile, the Musk stance on free speech and censorship have little hope for potentially regulating hate speech on the platform after he previously ripped into advertisers pulled out of X in 2023 over his own amplification and anti-Semitic posts. I mean, so Kanye was promoting that too. You know what? It's so funny. I read that article the other day by Paul Craig Roberts.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sitting there going, okay, I didn't know it was going to go here, but it was really anti-Jewish. And I thought to myself, wow, this is crazy. And so you got to ask yourself a question, you know, because, Candace Owens is doing this too. You know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it seems as though that black guys and black girls are really looking at what's going on here and they're being open about it. But the sad part about it is most white people have been so indoctrinated from the Scofield Reference Bible, they don't know what to do with this.
Well, the problem is that a lot of these individuals don't understand a lot of the history. They see anything that anything resembles a swastika, they automatically flip out. Here's an article that just came out here. 2,300-year-old sword with swastika unearthed in Necropolis in France.
Oh, it's an old symbol.
It's old symbol. That's the whole point. I'm not advocating or telling everybody to go. But they use these phrases now. The Germans picked it up. But, I mean, like I said, this is the Celtic Iron Age Necropolis in France, a few equivalents in Europe, and decorated with tiny swastikas. This is 2,300-year-old sword. Pretty cool piece, though, from an overall historical standpoint.
Oh, yeah. But the whole thing about it is, you know, Time magazine had Hitler as the man of the year for what he did to turn Germany around and build the Autobahns and all that back in the 30s. And so, you know, everything he did wasn't bad. I mean, people try to make him like he's some kind of nightmare. And don't get me wrong. I mean, he did some crazy stuff, especially with the Hitler Youth at the end that I can't stand what he did with those kids.
But that was horrible.
That was horrible what he did.
I think, honestly, though, towards the end of that, he got hooked on methamphetamine.
Oh, he was so messed up on meth.
Yeah, he was like hallucinating and everything else.
But then he basically jumped on a little plane and took off out of Berlin. you know, they were being invaded and ended up going to Argentina on a submarine. According to the research that I've done and lived his life out there with Eva Braun, and the bodies that he found in the bunker there that were burned outside weren't even him. They were both females. So,
anyways.
You know. Well, yeah, we could go on and
this,
on.
Here's a health star. This one I want to cover here. This is kind of interesting now. The FDA is advising adults not to receive the Qingkong Yunglong vaccine.
Whatever the heck that is. What's it for, by the way?
It's been approved. It's for the Qingkong Yunglong virus.
Great. I mean, let's make one up.
No, so the Food and Drug Administration said May 9th they're advising to pause at any adults getting it, essentially saying not to get the shot. That's ironic. They said there's been 17 adverse events reported with the shot.
17. Like less than 20.
17. Pausing the entire
like
shot.
Like less than 100.
Now.
Like 17.
17. 1-7.
Like you could count it on your toes and fingers.
Yeah.
Okay.
17. And they said now that it was being recommended for adults traveling to certain foreign countries. But the shot has caused 17 adverse reactions. They're essentially pausing it. And from what I'm reading, they're probably going to pull it off the market now. Now, I started looking at it. This is very strange for the FDA to do something like this, isn't it? I
mean, why are they attacking a vaccine? They never attack vaccines.
They never attack vaccines. I mean, the COVID shot is still on the market, and we've had millions of adverse events, millions of adverse events. So I started looking at it, and I was like, well, it's the vaccines known as the iCheck. It's made by Valneva.
Who owns Valneva?
Valneva. That doesn't
you know what I bet? I bet no ownership is in BlackRock, State Street, or Vanguard, and I bet you there's nobody at the FDA getting a little bit of the money for this.
Okay, so Valneva, never heard of it. Let's look them up. Let's see the top shareholders.
Here we go.
Valneva.
Here we go.
Valneva.
Oh.
General American Investors Company.
Wells
Fargo. All right. Citadel.
No BlackRock,
Ironwood,
State Street event.
Okay.
Just for kicks and giggles, let's find out. Just in case BlackRock owns General American Investors
General American
Investors,
because they own the majority of the shares.
Let's see who owns that.
General American Investors. Who owns General American Investors? Top investors.
Oh.
Saba Capital Management.
Oh, no BlackRock, State Street, or Vanguard.
Bluebell Private Wealth Management.
Okay, we're deep enough now. So that means that there's really little ownership of BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard.
At all. Maybe a tiny bit through Wells Fargo on the back end. But
that means the boys who own those three big investment houses and basically 90% of the stock market don't make any money on this new Qingkong virus vaccine or whatever
that's
it's called.
Interesting. Could it be that the FDA isn't going to promote vaccines unless they have the revolving door
policy.
Controlling interest with other.
We're not confusing anybody here. We're just speculating. It seems odd to me that
17 adverse events.
Yeah, and we got millions of adverse events. Here's an interesting article. A physical habit that could fuel dementia, no matter how much exercise you do. This is a very good article. I like this. Sitting or lying down for long periods of time could increase your risk of Alzheimer's disease despite how much you exercise that you do overall, the study has suggested. Experts have long recommended at least 150 hours of weekly exercise to decrease the health risks from desk-bound jobs or watching television in the evening.
150 hours a week of exercise?
150 minutes.
Oh, minutes.
Me.
Okay.
Thank you for fixing it.
Yeah, okay. I was like, golly.
That'd be 150 minutes. So you should talk a couple hours.
Yeah, a couple hours. Okay.
Almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
But new research from Vanderbilt University suggests that being active during leisure time does not help prevent Alzheimer's disease. It says the research has found regardless how much exercise a person did and as an individual who sat down and lay for long periods of time every day, worsening cognitive ignition tests and brain shrinkage related to Alzheimer's disease. An established study published in Alzheimer's and Dementia, the Journal of the Alzheimer's Association, scientists tracked more than 400 adults over the age of 50, and participants who were dementia-free at the start of the study were asked to wear a watch. They measured their activity levels for a week, and scientists gauged this. The results were then compared to cognitive performance tests 7 years later. The scientists found the risk was particularly high for people carrying an APOEE4 gene. Findings revealed that those who with a sedentary time were more likely to experience Alzheimer's symptoms. In other words, what it says is even if you're exercising 150 minutes a week, if you lay down a lot, sleep a lot, watch a lot of TV, or you're sedentary, that you may have up to 42% higher than they estimated by 2040.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me, though, because of the amount of time you're sleeping and laying down. You're not really doing anything as far as feeding your body. You're not drinking water. You're not doing anything.
Right. Well, and then you factor in, too, you know, you got your sleep time, you know, say 6, 7, 8 hours a night. Well, then a lot of people get up, and then what they do? They go sit on the computer, working on the computer. Well, then they get up maybe for lunch and they sit back down. Well, then they get back home. Well, they do. They sit back down, they eat, then they go lay back down and go to bed. And so when you think about it, the amount of time actually spent doing any activity is very low. This is why I always tell people, if you have a desk job, if you're at an office a lot, get up every hour or so. I knew a guy back in the day, he was having some issues with that, with circulation and whatnot. And I mean, granted, it was kind of, to me, it was kind of irritable as far as for him, but he had a watch timer. Every hour, his watch would go off and give him a reminder to get up and basically go walk around. And it helped. And what happened was he actually started doing it without the watch timer going off. So that's a side note. But I know also guys, too, that have gotten those desks where they can go from a seated and then they can roll up and go to standing, too. So if you want to, you can stand up and work on a computer, you know, for 30 minutes or so.
Well, and, you know, also, you know, one of the things that they've said years ago, and I mentioned this on the show before, is if a person can't get off the floor without using their hands, there's a higher probability that they're closer to death.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got to be able to get up. I know when my mother fell, when she broke her fifth metatarsal in her right foot, you know, she couldn't crawl to the phone.
Right.
And she laid there for almost 18 hours. Nobody knew about it because she couldn't call anybody. And finally, some friends knocked on the door. They couldn't get her to answer, so they called me up, and my buddy Van Green and I went over there. We had to break the doggone window out of the back door, and she was fine. She was laying on the floor, but she couldn't. She didn't have the physical strength to even crawl, you know, 30 feet to the telephone.
Yeah.
She couldn't move. She just fell and laid there. And she was okay, and we had to get him to the hospital. But the crazy part about it is that I kept telling her, "You're too sedentary. You're too sedentary. You're too sedentary."
I mean, every time we'd go over to the bar and stuff to go play
sitting down,
she's always sitting down watching TV, chilling, you know, having some cigarettes. Oh, but you know, I think personally, if she would have continued to walk around that property every day, go around and do a couple laps, I think it would have helped her out a lot.
Now, here's the thing. Now, this is, I'm going to read this. This is from a guy named Fisker, and Josh sent this to me this morning. He goes, "There is an absolute standard of fitness. To be fit, now listen to this, is to be able to carry or to drag an unconscious adult out of a burning house on one, maybe two gulps of air."
That's interesting. Okay.
Okay, well, we're not done yet. Alternatively, it's to outsprint a dog, given a head start, and to climb over a 7-foot wall. To be fit is to be able to fight and defeat anyone who can outrun you and outrun anyone who you can't defeat. Now, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty high standard. Let me tell you a funny story. You guys like my funny stories. Years ago, I've never told you this story. I don't think. May have. Been a long time ago. Your mom and I were over in Groveland, okay? And there was a house for sale, big open house and all this other kind of stuff, and the big sign out front for sale, open house, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was about a quarter of a mile off the road. And you could see it back there, big signs everywhere for sale. So we thought we'd go in. Well, the gate was locked. Nobody was there. This is a funny story.
Yeah.
I'm alive, so it's got a good ending. And so we climb over the gate.
Yeah.
Right? And we get about 100 yards to the house. And here come two giant pit bulls at full speed.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Now, your mom was like a track star.
She was fast.
Oh, she was fast. She would way outrun me, except for this day.
Sure. You're faster now.
And I looked at her. I said, "We've got two pits coming at us at full speed." Now, luckily, pits have stubby little legs.
Yeah.
Except for your pit. Giant thing lopes around the yard.
He's got that corso in him somewhere down his bloodline.
That thing leaps like 30 feet per step. It's crazy how fast that dog is. And he's like a greyhound. It's nuts. And
100-pound greyhound,
yeah,
full of muscle.
Oh yeah. So these were two little short, stubby pit bulls.
Yeah,
but they were not having none of us in that yard. And so Sharon and I looked at Sharon and I said, "We got to go." And so now we're both, all you see are elbows, right?
Yeah.
And we're running as fast as we can. I'm staying up with her at that time, and I would have not let her get behind me, because if they're going to jump on somebody, they jump on me. Then we had to climb back over the gate.
Yeah.
And by the time we got over the gate, the dog showed up.
Bam.
Right there. And I thought to myself, luckily we got over the gate, so we made it out of there. And I looked at her and I said, "Well, it doesn't matter if it says open house if the gate's closed. We won't do this again." Now, you guys are laughing at me right now, but these stories are crazy. And Sister and I were huffing and puffing over there. I said, "Well, at least we survived this.
You got some cardio in for the day."
I thought, "Well, let's just pass on this house. This is too much." And then you know, it's funny, because when you think about that, you think about, well, it doesn't really matter if you get attacked by a dog if you've got a gun.
Well, it still matters.
Well, I'm not saying trespassing and killing somebody's animal. I'm not saying that. And so Josh says, "Ha ha! I'm sure you could outrun these dogs, but if not, that's where there's Kimbers and Glocks." And I thought,
Kimbers and Glocks.
But here's the problem, and here comes one of the greatest segues of all time that you guys are going to like as far as this show this morning. There is a shortage of gunpowder, of TNT, globally now. See how well that worked?
That was well done.
So shell game inside the worldwide trinitrotoluene shortage. We talked to major U.S. artillery shell makers about how the ongoing conflicts have severely strained the global supply of critical explosive compounds. Now, here's why I basically am bringing this context into this right now.
This thing with the artillery shells, the 155 millimeter and 152 millimeter artillery shells, are made in Sarasota, Florida.
Yep.
Okay.
Global ordnance.
But here's the problem. You know, there's a gunpowder shortage. I have to pay a whole lot of money now to get the gunpowder to make these shells, and there's a shortage. Here's the reason I'm bringing this up. This is super old technology. We're talking like 1700s. Okay? We're talking cannon fire here. And the crazy part about this stuff is when you look at it, you think, well, why are they continuing to do this? Well, because of the military-industrial complex. That's it. They don't need this type of technology. They can use scalar-based weapon systems, which can basically accumulate scalar energy and destroy entire cities with the blast of a weapon from space-based weapons platforms. And, you know, in fact, Fred Bell said this on Jesse Ventura, you know, one time on Conspiracy Theory about the advanced space-based weapon systems that we have, that we no longer need anything like this any longer. This is just old technology. It's kind of like Elon Musk's rocket ship blew up again this week. And they're saying, oh, it blew up again. Well, he's dealing with 100-year-old technology from Putamundo from the Nazis. And, you know, and Wernher von Braun and the Nazi scientists, they discovered how to make these rockets get propelled, you know, with gunpowder, but it's not really gunpowder, it's rocket fuel, to go up into the air and to basically deliver ordnance. Well, now we can't seem to be able to do this now 100 years later with Elon Musk. Stay with me for a second. So we have to ask ourselves a question. Why do they keep bringing this old technology out? Why do they keep saying we have to have this spaceship going into space now using rocket fuel when we have anti-gravity technology? Yeah, and we have F-22 Raptors, and we have F-35s that can land vertically. I mean, what the heck are we doing trying to run up with rocket fuel? Well, again, this is obfuscation. It's like the space shuttle was. Finally, the space shuttle cost so much money to try to maintain, they grounded the thing. They had enough of it because it's old technology. They can use anti-gravity technology, in my opinion, and the research is there. They can put anything, any payload into orbit, if you want to believe they go into orbit. There's a lot of weird stuff going on with what they want us to believe this planet is. So it's an interesting experience when I sit here and look at it all. I think to myself, okay, more obfuscation. Now we're using gunpowder that we're basically running out of from 300 years ago with technology, and we're putting basically rockets into the sky that supposedly went to the moon, right? You know, it's 50, 60 years ago, and NASA says, we no longer have the technology to go to the moon. We've lost it. Well, why don't you go outside and look at the Saturn V rocket that's laying out there on that side and take a look at the technology that was used. It's still intact, by the way. Maybe you can look at that and figure out how to do it, since supposedly we went to the moon, which I don't believe that for a second. I've got a friend of mine, Lee Shu.
Yeah.
Great friend, electrical engineer. He worked for NASA back in the 60s. Now, a lot of you to get mad with this, and it's okay. You can get mad. One of you got mad the other day because I was stirring up my Fit Food with a fork, and it was going ding ding on the thing.
No. I told you to put it in a shaker. Though.
Well, no.
And if you spill that and it ruins my laptop, the customers aren't going to get a good show.
Well, they probably get a great show. They'll enjoy
it. It's
going
to go black.
but the thing. So if we messed you up, when I believe that, so I believe it had a lot of noise going into the microphone. So we've heeded your warnings and we've listened to you. And now I've used the HealthMaster shaker here this morning, which you can get at healthmasters.com. And
we have more coming in, by the way.
We have more coming in. Yeah, and so now I'm having my Fit Food this morning. But what's interesting to me is that the lies that we have, since we're 500 years past rockets,
yeah,
500 years past gunpowder, 500 years past Elon Musk's SpaceX.
Here's the joke about this entire story, and I'm saying this because the entire thing is more war theater. They're saying now the conflicts in Ukraine and over in Israel has caused a major shortage of TNT production.
It may have. Because they're shipping this stuff everywhere.
Everybody's blowing everybody up. But here's the thing about this. These manufacturing facilities, putting, you know, trinitrotoluene together and basically TNT manufacturing, it's a few chemicals.
I made it before. I'll tell you a story.
That's the off the air.
No. I was in eighth grade.
But no, the thing
is, science project.
This is not a significant. They've had years to ramp up production if they knew this conflict was happening. This is again about manipulating the markets and controlling the price index of this product and basically showing we have a higher demand for it because of all these conflicts and bombs going off.
Well, I really didn't make it. But what I did, I took a bunch of firecrackers. I had a volcano project in eighth grade with Mrs. Brown. She's a nightmare
about
teacher.
About got you expelled.
About got me kicked out. About burned the school down. And this is a funny story. So I built this big plaster Paris volcano, right? And then I took several compounds. Well, I'm not going to tell you what I did on that because I did that myself. And I created like a lava field around the volcano. And then what I did is I painted the volcano so that it would be all brown so you couldn't see the lava field. And then I had a bunch of firecrackers. This is the evidence of a misspent youth, by the way. I had a bunch of firecrackers, and I took the fuses out of them, and I dumped the gunpowder into the top of the volcano. Don't do this at home. Okay. And then I put a fuse in it. And I told Mrs. Brown, I said, we're going to show you what the explosion of a volcano looks like with the lava fields running down the side. And she said, okay. So she let me light this thing up in the classroom also. We had like 14-foot ceilings, thank goodness. And it was an old wooden building. That was scary. And what happens, I lit this thing up, and all of a sudden it shot sparks up about that high. It was great. It looked like, you know, like Mount St. Helens going off. And all of a sudden the lava field ignited, and it started burning down the side. And the entire room got filled with choking smoke.
You either got an A or you got an F?
I got an A.
Did you?
And what was funny is they had opened, luckily we had windows back then, so we opened up all the windows, this no smoke detectors, and I'm kind of like, okay, how do I put it out now? But it burned out pretty quick, and I thought to myself, well, that was quite an experiment. Don't do that at home.
See here, so they had SOF Week conference in Tampa last week. If you guys have watched some of the, I need to show some of the
What's videos. SOF?
Special Operations. So what they did
Why
is,
would I possibly
they,
know
no, this,
that?
This, I'll show you the video. So they come in with these helicopters. They basically air, sea, and land incursion on Tampa Bay with blanks. I'll show you. The, it's pretty
no,
cool.
Last
I was there
week?
Years ago. Yeah, yeah. I went to it years back. I haven't been to it in a while. Pretty cool what they do is with these guys come in. They come in rappelling and everything else. Well, they're talking with the guys at the SOF Week conference, and he said, basically, this guy is working with Global Ordnance, and he goes, we procured a contract with Zarya in Ukraine to bring material in the United States to produce more TNT.
There we go.
So now we're importing TNT products from Ukraine.
And from China.
To the United States to make ordnance to ship back to Ukraine. If you don't think that is a gigantic revolving door of cash flow and weapon trafficking, I don't know what else you think it is. But yeah, interesting topic on there. I won't go to
the whole By the way, everybody's placed, you know, it's so funny. I've got a friend of mine who lives in New Jersey. And she said, I hate living here. And the other day we were at the mall and we went into this shoe shop. I was dragged into it, not kicking and screaming, but still dragged into it. Didn't really want to go. And the lady was from New Jersey. And I said to her, I said, why is everybody from New Jersey so mean? And I know you're not all mean. I got that. Okay. And she looked at me. She goes, you're right. I had to get out of there. It's like every time you go there, you try not to get into a fight. And I thought to myself, wow, that's interesting. But now, just to make everybody even happier in Newark, basically the airport has suffered its third system outage in less than 2 weeks, impacting hundreds if not thousands of flights. Now, everybody's really, really happy out of New Jersey, so now they can run around really, really mad about it all. And I'm telling you guys, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's saying that one guy was responsible for basically landing like 180 planes. One guy. Now, how in the world could you possibly do that Jeez. And take care of all of those people and all those aircraft without having some kind of major, major problem if you mess up one time? That's how short they are as far as air traffic controllers.
That's crazy.
Maybe because nobody wants to work in Newark because everybody's so mean in New Jersey. But it's interesting to me. Oh, you got the helicopter coming in.
I got to show you.
Now, when did this happen?
This one's from last year. So I say apparently they cut some of the demonstration back this year. This is pretty cool. This is in Tampa Bay. Yeah, free up minigun.
You know, if you didn't know this was fake, this would be pretty scary.
Oh, yeah. Now, they give all the all the residents on the West Coast ample updates that this is going to happen. Because they're running full blanks as far as...
I guarantee you there's a bunch of people who did not know this was going to happen again. You know, I'm like, great, get the weapons out. This is great.
I mean, they do it every year most of the time. So.
You remember years ago when that doggone Fantasy of Flight was still open? They started shutting off that artillery.
Dude, that was wild. They didn't give us any heads up.
Nah, none.
It was a big display. Because it wasn't July 4th or Veterans Day or anything. It was some special event they were having. And they brought these guys in that handled ordnance normally. They basically used these, like, demo pyro ordnance that they use in movies. And on the other side of the lake, I remember I'm laying there in bed, and all of a sudden I start hearing these booms, these concussions. And I'm like, man, is it raining? It's thundering. And I walk outside, and I walk down the lake, and, dude, it's straight up, and it is in rate of fire. I'm doo, doo. And you see it's lighting up on the other side of the lake. And I was like, oh, crap. I'm like, we got
an invasion.
No, I straight up grabbed the M4 and jetted over to Ted's house. And I remember I'm knocking
That's
on
Dad.
The door.
Dad's
I'm banging
house.
On the door. And I'm like, dude, what is that? He's like, I don't know. And then he comes back. He's like, dude, Fantasy of Flight's apparently doing some big night op. And I'm like, it'd be nice to let everybody know that. So I'm using your boom, 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 boom. And it went on for a bit, but they got a lot of complaints from that. I would love to have seen it as far as actually closer. But I was like the heads up, you know, 10 o'clock at night, you start hearing ordnance going off on the other side of the lake. It kind of, you know, spooks you on it. Because it was like a Wednesday night or something, too.
It was crazy, it was
weird.
It's kind of like, what was that one movie that Patrick Swayze did way back when?
Red Dawn.
Oh, yeah, Red Dawn. It's kind of like Red Dawn.
That's what I was hunting the other day, the original one.
That original one was a good one.
The new one, they tried to make it too.
That was too politically correct. Yeah. Too much DEI.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem we got in Newark, as far as I'm concerned, is the DEI nonsense.
Well, and the problem is, I hate to have to say it, but the 80s ability to defend that situation was much more realistic in that movie than now, and say when they came out with that in 2020. You know, because they didn't have the drone technology back then, the 80s. They didn't have all this different stuff as far as allegedly the Russians and the Cubans were attacking us with. Now, unfortunately, you know, trying to be in that situation without significant amount of comms and drones
it's a hellfire,
and Overwatch.
It's hellfire missiles.
Yeah, it's just the technology is just, it's much more advanced now for military invasion.
Oh, by the way, Germany is continuing to turn itself back into a nightmare situation that's always been since World War II. Yeah. The police have raided a conspiracy theorist group called Kingdom of Germany. German authorities on Tuesday banned an extremist group called the Kingdom of Germany, raided multiple locations nationwide, and arrested four of its leading members. The group is part of a right-wing conspiracy theorist movement known as the Citizens of the Reich, which rejects the legitimacy of the modern German Republic. Among those detained was the group's self-proclaimed King Peter Fiske, 59, former chef and karate instructor. He founded the organization, which is claimed to have 6,000 members. Long dismissed as malcontents and oddballs, the Reichsbürger have become increasingly radicalized and are considered a security threat by German authorities. About 800 security forces searched the properties of seven.
800?
As the König of Deutschland, the interior minister said the group had established pseudo-state structures and institutions. They're starting their own country. The ministry declared the dissolution of the group, which is accused of attacking the liberal democratic order.
So they didn't attack anybody. They attacked the order.
Yeah. It says, and as the so-called supreme sovereign, Frisk had control and decision-making power of all key areas. It's kind of like Adolf. The kingdom of Germany considers itself a sovereign state within the meaning of the international law. Fisk once said, who once ran unsuccessfully to enter parliament, anointed himself as king in 2012 in an elaborate ceremony complete with crown and scepter. Either this guy's been smoking too much crack or he's really trying to change some things over there. But I think it's funny to me that they would go in and have such an unbelievable raid with 800 of their military
personnel. This must have been big. I didn't hear about this. It must have been big. I mean, when you call yourself the Kingdom of Germany, you got some big shoes to fill.
Oh, by the way, on this show, and I've told you this before, we are an equal opportunity offender.
We're both Germans, so we can pick on Germans a little bit. I mean, we still got a ton of family over there.
Aber meine erste Sprache ist Deutsch. So for you Germans, you know what that means. My first language is German. And so what's funny about this is that we joke about this because we attack the United States, we attack Canada, we attack New Zealand, we attack everybody. China. Well, our favorites are China.
I rarely ever attack because I can't ever find anything. Switzerland. They're always kind of just chill, but yet they're always prepared.
They got machine guns in their home. And I asked them, I said, you guys have machine guns in your houses? Oh, yeah. I'm like, well, do you have any ammo? He's no, they don't give us the ammo. We have the machine guns.
It's kind of like, we're not giving you the ammo. You have the machine gun. We're not going to give you the ammo for it.
And everybody has to serve in their military. Uh-huh. And they have to know how to handle weapons. Every house is required to have like a machine gun.
Right, that's why Switzerland never gets invaded.
Well, it's always
the neutral stuff.
Switzerland never gets invaded because the bankers control Switzerland.
And they keep all their gold there.
And they keep their gold there. And so they don't want to buy messing with Switzerland. So they're going to stay neutral. And they always maintain independence as far as food production there, too. And so it's a beautiful place.
Country.
Oh, by the way, if you ever get to go to Switzerland, this is a little advertising for them, you need to go to a little town called Gibbelwald. It has about 60 people live there. It's up on the side of the mountain in the Alps, and you have to take a tram to get there. When the cows get sick, they have to put the cows on the tram to get down. It's very isolated, and it's very, very, very beautiful. Rick Steves from the Travel Channel thing, he talks about it, and I went over there one time, and I met with a guy named Ollie, and Ollie basically had a house there that Rick Steves was actually staying in when I was there, but Rick Steves was sick with a cold, and Ollie was fussing at me because of how we vote in the United States, Austin.
Really?
And I looked at him and I said, you know, we aren't all asleep in the United States. You know, I basically don't believe any of the stuff they're trying to do. And so I emailed him a few different times, but never really had much of a response from him. But that's a beautiful little town. If you ever get a chance, it's called Gimmelwald in Germany. I'm sorry, in Switzerland, up in the Alps. And it's quite an ordeal to get there. And you have to be in pretty good shape to do it. But I'm not sure if you could climb a 7-foot wall that would be needed over there. So you don't have to be in that kind of shape. What's your next story, Austin?
Just side story there. Also, too, in other news, sort of a health topic here. Trump has basically nominated Dr. Casey Means as a Surgeon General. This is an interesting topic. I saw this. I missed it last week. I didn't get to talk about it. And she's pretty good on functional medicine. She's really in line with R.F. Kennedy Jr. So we're going to watch and see. I had a few people ask me about this, and so I didn't really cover it because I didn't see much on it. But she's going to be handling a lot of this stuff now. So we're going to see where her stance is. I do know that she is in agreement with R.F.K. Jr. on a lot of stuff, especially when it comes to the food and additives. Because there's an article that came out now that says the rise and fall of synthetic food dyes, the innovation of extracting food dye from coal tar, once thrilled the public, yet it was not without its consequences. And I've yelled about this for years as far as the food coloring, as far as in the processed food supply. What happened is, if you go back into it, they were basically extracting chemicals from coal tar. The residue became the world's first ever synthetic dye. Prior to the invention of synthetic dye, people obtained dyes through organic materials like plants, minerals, and certain animals. Natural dyes such as those tend to fade quickly, and essentially the long-lasting synthetic coal tar dyes lasted longer. And then they started putting the food supply. And the thing about this was, nobody really realized how bad it was until, you know, about last 20 or 30 years, we started doing more research on it. And so it's time to remove this stuff.
A lot of the synthetic vitamins you get at the grocery store for, you know, they use coal tar.
No, they do.
They're coal tar. In fact, you know, it's funny because, we have some natural supplements years ago. That's forever ago. And we had a couple of Malamutes. And we had them basically. I don't recommend Malamutes.
Not in Florida. They're good for like Montana.
Well, they're good for Montana. They're good for like Seattle. They're good for pulling sleds. But a dumber animal's never been born.
I think a dumber animal's been born.
I don't think so, man. But I tell you what, you can't train them for anything. But boy, they love to run and pull sleds. And
they're strong.
And they love to kill cats, now, which I don't recommend you get one to kill cats.
They love to kill animals.
I should have said that.
They're hunter animals.
And I'm not recommending it for cat killing. I'm not going to do that. But I remember one time we had one got loose in our neighborhood, right?
Oh, yeah.
And his name was Baron. All my animals are always named Baron and Countess. If they're female, they're Countess. I'm going to make sure they're not tranny dogs, right? And if they're male, they're Count. They're Baron. And I remember Gertie Williams is next door to us. This is when we lived at Somerset. She goes, "Ted, come over and get this cat and bury it. Your dog killed another cat."
He did, right?
He did.
That's what he. Well, because they have really, really predator animals, though, too.
Well, it's funny, though. The first Baron, they all like to kill cats. But the first one was so funny. He walked up to a tomcat one time at my mom's place, right? And the cat, and he wasn't scared of the cat. Cat wasn't scared of him. Tomcat was a real fighter, scrapper.
Yeah.
And, so Baron went up and wanted to sniff this cat. Didn't know what it was. Man, that tomcat put a stripe across his nose, man. Popped him in the nose. I mean, cut him. Well, that was it. Baron was at that point an avowed cat killer. And and the tomcat was so close to the tree, it didn't matter to him. He just, one leap was in the tree.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I mean, he got that close, though. Didn't know what it was. Didn't know what that cat was.
You knew what it was after that.
Oh, yeah, after that it was like my mortal enemy. But it was so funny with those dogs. How crazy they are.
Death vengeance on them.
Oh my gosh, that was it. Those dogs are interesting. But they're great dogs for pulling sleds. They really are, because they can just go on a straight line and run. They want to run and pull sleds and kill cats.
Anyways, back to the food dyes.
I don't know why I brought that up.
I don't know why you brought that up.
I was going to say something else, and I forgot.
You're going to segue into something with synthetic vitamins and food dyes.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. And so Countess, the female Malamute, was actually pretty smart, but she liked to bite people, too. Bit you in the face. And she basically had a scar right there for a minute. And she ended up basically one day she got a hold of the vitamins, and she ate every single natural supplement we had and would not touch the coal tar derivatives. Thank you for reminding me of my segue.
Really? Yeah. You never told me that story before.
Yeah, she did. Because we had a little display case with the coal tar stuff in there, and she wouldn't touch those.
She ate everything else.
Oh, she that dog was a pig. She'd eat everything.
She was probably pretty healthy after that, though, for a while.
Well, she was. She killed Baron, man. These dogs are predators.
Yeah, you got rid of her after me, the whole thing. But anyways, back to where I was going, the food dyes. I remember a while back, I was at Sam's Club picking up, I think, some organic eggs or something. They had it at the time. I don't think they do anymore now. And I remember I went to the vitamin section, because I always like to kind of just browse and see what they had. And they had this big, big display shelf that had all this CoQ10 on it. And this is big. I mean, it's like probably this big, size of AGH Stimulate. It's all these big, bright capsules in it. It was like 180 pills of CoQ10. It's like $19.99.
That's
I'm like, how in the world are you producing that much CoQ10, $19? I mean, that's insane, especially good forms. We use the Ubiquinol form.
Oh, yeah.
Ubiquinol, Ubiquinone.
I wrote a whole article on it.
Yeah, I wrote a whole article on it. But anyways, I flip it over, and I mean, the other ingredients is like a laundry list. I'm like, it's supposed to be CoQ10. Well, then I'm right in the middle of it. Red dye number 40, just like that, red 40. And I'm like,
cancer causing,
because natural CoQ10 ubiquinol has a red hue to it. It's naturally red. Well, you can't get that in the synthetic crap.
Nope.
What a lot of these companies do is most people don't realize this. A lot of these vitamins are ordered already pre-capsulized out of China. So they'll order it in a giant, like 55-gallon barrel, say of like, you know, 100,000 pills. And they're out of China. China just takes synthetic CoQ10, which is completely, it doesn't work.
Not absorbable.
Not even bioavailable. They make the capsules. They put the crap in them. They ship it to the United States. And the United States company bottles them. They're made here in the United States. And they're not. This is why I told you guys it's so important to do your research where your products are being manufactured. Every single product I have on my shelf is made here in the United States. And about 99% of everything that I have as far as raw ingredients is from either the United States or from Europe. Get a lot of stuff out of Europe now, too. And so, again, this is why I really need to know what you're getting, because these cheap products you see on Amazon and Walmart, when it's too good to be true of a price, I talked about it last
week.
It's
too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. And there's a reason why you take them, and it's like, I don't feel any different. My favorite was, I started taking these vitamins. I feel horrible now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, where did you get them from? I got the Great Value brand from Walmart. I got 10 for $1. I'm like, and you thought that was going to be a good product to put in your body. So, yeah.
Another story about Baron and Countess.
We got a dog.
Yeah, I remember. I'm having like memory lane here. I remember he loved to swim. You think of Malamy, he wouldn't want to swim, but he wanted to swim. I remember one day he was out on Lake. He was out on Lake Lowry, and he was getting circled by gators.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I remember I was there. I'm calling him to come back, and I've got a 9mm Glock.
Yeah,
because I'm out there because of snakes, and I'm out in the woods. Like with no boats out there trying to get the gators away from him. He got back safely, but man, what a trip that was. I'm surprised he wasn't eaten.
The rounds usually, even if you're not that accurate, you don't have a large caliber, depending on how far out the gators are, they'll usually...
About 100 yards out.
They'll usually drop, just start moving away.
But I was hoping I wasn't going to shoot the dog because it was so far away.
Yeah, from 100 yards, you ain't killing a dog. You ain't killing a
gator. No
gator
way.
9mm.
No, oh, by the way, that was long, long time ago, well within the statute of limitations. It's long since expired to discharge a firearm.
Well, and I mean,
but I was trying to save my dog.
But exactly. You fear your dog's life.
By the way, schools celebrate Special People Day instead of Mother's Day.
What?
Mm-hmm. A Michigan elementary school generated lots of media buzz over its decision to celebrate Special People Day.
Special People
Day. School board members Special of Virginia, they need to be voted out. Virginia Yeehup confirmed in a social media post that Ferry Elementary School had replaced both Mother's Day and Father's Days with a Special People Day. Jayup was concerned that the change was erasing something that was deeply cherished by parents and grandparents in the district. To project the project sense of families never mentions mothers or fathers, only speaks about those who celebrate, love, and support the child, not the other way around, she wrote. That shift may seem subtle to some, but for many of us, it feels like a significant departure from something meaningful and good. The Detroit News obtained a copy of the letter that was sent home to the parents of kindergarten students. We're excited to announce that our kindergarten class will be celebrating Special People Day. Letter read, in place of traditional Mother's Day and Father's Day. You know, I'm going to stop for 1 second, okay? This whole thing nauseates me, right? Here's the deal. I remember years ago when Harrison was in fourth grade at this horrible school I had him in that I thought was the best, you know, private school here in Polk County. And I remember they had these kids in that classroom that were in fourth grade who had two daddies for parents. That's what this is all about. It's about, you know, supporting the family unit, regardless of the mother and father being in the unit, and basically compromising the value of the Word of God and what God says to us as far as what we should and shouldn't be doing concerning this. And this kind of stuff is part of the Frankfurt School ideology that came to us from cultural Marxism back in 1933 when Hitler ran these clowns out of Germany and they came over to, you know, Columbia University and started the Frankfurt School. And the sad part about this is now this type of teaching is permeated. Now, these young kids now that are at kindergartners, Austin, they're 4 and 5 and 6 years old. When they're told this, that's being indelibly put into their synaptic function. And it should be it'll be very difficult to erase as they get older if it continues to be reinforced in the school district. You think, well, it won't make any difference. It won't make a difference if the parents correct it.
That's true.
If the parents correct it and say, hey, this is not cool, we're not going to do this. But if they, these little kids are going to believe what they're told. And we've talked about that because they're in a theta brainwave state many, many times. So this is not okay. And again, it's part of the degradation of the United States of America and these liberal states. And the sad part about it is that, you know, the southern states and the northern states have always been two separate countries, Austin.
They really have.
They should never have been put back together with the Civil War. They should have stayed separate. The problem is now we have so many northern people coming down here. They're liberalizing the South, including Miami, which has turned into a complete nightmare.
It has. The issue you've run into now is Florida became unbelievably popular on social media during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it happen in 2020 when everybody was locked down, when you couldn't walk outside without wearing a diaper on your face.
Unless you're in Florida.
You couldn't go to a restaurant in New York unless you had your vaccine passport like a peasant. Florida's like, you guys still have COVID up there?
What's wrong with you people?
And I mean, I'm not making a joke. I know a lot of people that died and a lot of people that got put on remdesivir in the hospital that died from that. But the thing about it was Florida was the giant experiment that showed everybody that the overreaction in the mainstream media knows no bounds. United States flipped the heck out month after month after month after month. Florida put virtually no restrictions
out. And, you know, and remember, Sweden didn't put any restrictions out there either. And all of a sudden, now, you know, two or three years later, going, well, Sweden's death counts.
I remember people sending me texts. It was like in April, May of 2020, and people were sending me texts going, what's going on down in Florida? The mainstream media is basically saying that Florida's all going to die. It's going to turn like a zombie hellhole. Like, you know, basically Resident Evil down there. And we're like,
sad.
What? I'm like, I was at the beach last weekend in Daytona. It's like 5,000 people out there. We're good. Everybody's like, really? The media says, don't visit Florida ever. You're going to die.
Oh, I'm going to tell the story. Okay. I'm getting my flight training way back when. I'm finishing up my license.
During COVID.
No, listen, during COVID, right? And so they told us that in Florida, the interstates were closed with checkpoints
yes.
for vaccines. Remember that?
Yeah.
Total lie, by the way. Total lie.
They even said that you couldn't get into Florida. They said they had put FHP at the borders in Georgia, okay. and they weren't letting people in.
So I called myself, Rick Belford, a good friend of mine, one of my instructors. I told Rick, I says, I had a Cessna 210, flew like 200 miles an hour. I said, let's go up to the border real quick. He goes, yeah. You want to fly to the border? I said, yeah. I said, this is going to be a news story. And I said, he's okay. I'm getting in flight time. So, man, we jump in that thing running 200 miles an hour. So in about 45 minutes, we're at the border.
Yep.
There's not one blockage.
No.
There's nothing.
Wide open.
It was a complete and total lie. It was pure obfuscation. Next day I got on the show and I said, it's a lie.
You know,
because I was flying over like at 700 feet. I'm looking. So we finally flew all the way to Valdosta looking for this.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I thought, it's like 60 miles into the state of Georgia. And I thought myself, I told Rick, I said, this is a total lie. There's nothing here. He goes, no, it's wide open.
Kind of in hindsight, though, I wish we kind of just would have let that lie keep going. Florida's blocked. Interstate shut down. Can't get in. FHP will arrest you.
Oh, they were telling us the lines were blocked up for tens of miles all the way. Nothing. There was nothing.
I know. But like I said, now I kind of wish we would have just let that lie permeate and slow it down.
So I was one of the – of course, our news because we're alternative news, we weren't promoted on mainstream news as far as having a legitimate person coming in there with an airplane.
Well, then what happened was, you know, normal nice houses down here in Central Florida that were $150,000 started going all the way up to $450,000. Within about 12 to 18 months,
you had these
northerners coming down and doing blind bidding on houses.
Yeah, but the reality is they were bidding against the doggone State Street Vanguard.
That's what I'm saying. That's what happened.
BlackRock's subdivisions bringing in illegal aliens to $20 million that Biden brought in approximately.
BlackRock saw the writing on the wall. They knew what was about to happen beforehand because they always get told. And they knew the prices were going to go through the roof. So they went in and started
bought whole subdivisions.
Preemptively buying entire subdivisions down here. They would go in and these developers, normally like Florida developers are putting in a subdivision. Vision, BlackRock
Everything.
Would come in and say, we want to buy it all before you even finish it. 50% deposit on the whole subdivision developed. And for a developer, that's a dream. I can't knock them for it. You come in and all of a sudden say, we're going to, instead of having to sell each house one by one for $250,000, $300,000, we're going to give you market price at $320,000 per house. We're going to take the entire subdivision, one block sum. Developer goes, where do I sign?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't,
what was funny, nobody could get shingles, nobody could get windows, nobody could get block.
Except for them. Those builders who were doing contracts.
They were running 20, 30 houses at a time and never had a shortage of any product.
Because it didn't matter, because they had so much cash coming.
No, because State Street, Vanguard, and BlackRock owned the doggone companies that manufactured the windows.
They made sure some of these, it was crazy, because I knew some of these builders down here, they made sure they were getting preferential treatment from a lot of basically the distributors
and
a lot of the manufacturers. So they would cut to the front of the line. All of a sudden, oh, no. Those shingles, you know, the drywall, no, it's not an issue. You'll have your material tomorrow. We're all down here. I got subs building my house at the beginning. Luckily, I got my CO July 2020. So I was right before it went nuts. And all of a sudden, I'm like talking to people like, yeah, you know, basically sheet, basically particle board coming in for plywood, like $150 a sheet. I'm like, what? I'm like, I was paying $25 for it last year. Like, yeah. It's $150 a sheet now.
And then, yeah, if you can get it.
If you could get it. Mm-hmm. And that was the problem. Everybody said, but the developers that had the contracts, material, next day, on the site, no price increases.
Well, when you own everything, as far as from the raw material production to the raw material acquisition to the development of all of the different products that you need, and you own all of the different supply houses, yep, it's not hard to get your material put in first.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's not. Because you make a phone call. Well, oh, you got a contract for this X developer? Yeah, he needs this much sheetrock, this much drywall.
No shortages for him.
These many squares of shingles, he needs to deliver next week.
You know what reminds me of? Seinfeld.
Which one?
The soup Nazi.
No soup for you.
No sheetrock for you.
That's not gonna
no windows for you. That's one of the best. There's two Seinfeld shows that are phenomenal. Two that are just, I mean, off the top. It's when Elaine and Jerry are flying an airplane. It's the first class episode, and Jerry gets upgraded to first class, and they're having cookies up front, and Elaine's in the back screaming, right?
That Sunday.
I'll have another. Okay? And he meets a supermodel. He's talking to her. She's in the back, sandwiched in between two people trying to eat meals.
They're snoring on her.
Oh, yeah. And then that one, and then the other one with the soup Nazi. Those are my two favorite Seinfeld episodes. They are.
And I don't promote that show. Some of them are kind of
Well,
weird.
I don't promote Seinfeld, but the only two, that's but the only so, two
some
I like.
Of them back in the 90s, they were actually... It's funny, looking back at some of those shows now, those shows were very, very, very subdued and very clean compared to the crap
because of what Kanye West is saying, I kind of had to promote two of the Seinfeld episodes. You can read between the lines on that.
Oh, my gosh.
What's your next story, Austin?
Oh, boy. Junk food leads to junk sleep. I talked about this the other day, but they're showing more and more research now that processed foods cause significant issues with sleep. 53% higher risk of experiencing insomnia with people that ate ultra-processed foods before bed. I have experienced this firsthand. I've told people before, if you're having sleep issues, A, make sure you're running the melatonin, the total rest, the magnesium before bed. Those are crucial. You pretty much sleep like a baby, hence the sleep like a baby.
And then, I forgot to promote this. One of the other things they were talking about as far as the cognitive decline as far as with Alzheimer's was shrinkage of the brain.
Yes.
Okay? That's why I use the creatine every day, because it's been shown to help massively increase cognition. I think the reason it does that is because it increases fluid retention in the brain.
Fluid retention everywhere. That's where you get stronger, but the brain as well.
Well, no.
Now, the
amazing
research that
that's my opinion, by the way. I'm not making any claims here medically.
It was a high dosage in the research they did this. I had somebody ask me this the other day. High amount that they were taking on one singular dosage, basically to do this study, because it was a short study on it. However, in my opinion, you don't need to take some massive high dose, because they were just using straight.
I use a gram a day.
Right. They were using straight creatine monohydrate powder on an empty stomach.
Very difficult to digest.
It's very difficult to digest. You get a lot of creatinine as far as a byproduct on the heart and the renal function. Not recommended. That's why the creatine that we have with its pH buffered, it's from Switzerland, and also it's in a controlled release capsule. You can test them out in water if you want. You'll see it. It takes them a while to break down, but when they do, they're timed to break down the small intestines. That's where your body uptakes the most amount of creatine. You think about it, you pull creatine out of, say, beef. Mm-hmm. Your body's not pulling creatine out of beef in your stomach. It's absorbing the nutrients in the small intestines, and so it's really important you make sure you're taking a very clean creatine, because a lot of these companies, they sell, you take 10, 15, 20 grams of creatine a day to front load. Don't do that. It's too hard on your kidneys. It'll mess your blood pressure up. It'll hold water retention. And then the problem is, when you come off of it, you shrink back down. You drop all this water. And it didn't really have a huge benefit. It just puts a lot of stress on the renal system. So I found that out over the years.
Oh, by the way, this is an interesting thing. This happened to one of my relatives. They contacted me, and their husband had gained a lot of weight. He was over 300 pounds, and he was a wine salesman.
A lot of sugar.
I'm not making this up, okay? This is a family thing. And he gained a bunch of weight because he doesn't realize that just 1 ounce of alcohol a day decreases the body's ability to burn body fat by up to 40% because it stops the enzyme production of lipase.
It's not just the alcohol that's the calories. People don't realize that. It's exactly what it does
to the
digestive system and liver function. It takes about 3 days for your body to re-regulate its digestive enzymes, your gut microbe, after you drink alcohol. That's why drinking, say, like, you know, a couple times a year for a special event, not going to hurt you that much. Drinking every day or every other day, that's when you really start having some
every third day.
Yeah, even number 30. Because your body never gets back to homeostasis. It can't get back to its normal function. And so that's why I tell people.
Well, her husband has been taking the – well, they're getting a divorce.
Okay.
And, but he's basically been taking the Ozempic.
Okay.
And so now, you know, the studies have come out. She sent me an article. Says it caused blindness and deafness and all this other stuff. I said, well, it caused a lot more than that. She goes, well, what good is it? He's lost weight if he's blind and deaf and dead.
Right.
That's what she said to me this morning. I thought, well, that's true, I guess, isn't it? I mean, what good does it do if you die trying to lose weight? And now they have something called Ozempic tongue. This is strange. Okay?
Ozempic tongue.
Ozempic tongue is the latest bizarre side effect of the weight loss drug. It celebrates as celebrities reveal its impact. Doctors are now warning about how you taste your food could also dramatically shift. It's not just about feeling less hungry. New York-based obesity specialist said to Daily Mail he has seen avid meat eaters go off on steak, sausages, and their favorite cuts of meats because they report a metallic taste. He said, I've also seen reverse this with vegetarians suddenly having craving for meat as their taste buds change because of what's going on with Ozempica. So now they're calling it Ozempica tongue. So you basically lose your ability to taste things a certain way, and you start having different tastes as far as metallic taste in your mouth from the Ozempica tongue. So now you're laughing at me. This is what it says. I'm just reading you what it says.
The side effects from Ozempic just keep getting longer.
Okay.
We got thyroid cancer. We got all these blindness issues. Now we got
Ozempica tongue.
Now you can't even enjoy your food after you come off Ozempic.
You got a metallic taste. Well, here's the thing. If before you try Ozempica, this is just a newsflash here. Why don't you change your diet a little bit? Why don't you go with fish and vegetables or chicken and vegetables or beef and vegetables and just eat about as much of that stuff as you want and watch the weight fall off because you basically release a hormone called glucagon and you don't release insulin. And so the body starts to do the same thing Ozempica does, reduces insulin, and the weight just pours off of you without going blind, deaf, and dead. I mean, this is horrible, Austin. And, of course, suicide is one of the side effects, too. So it's kind of like the problem we have with Viagra. It causes optic nerve and basically auditory nerve degradation. Now, whether it's linked to the same mechanism that Ozempic is, I have no idea. But the reality is, you could go blind and deaf if you get too much Viagra. Well, wouldn't it be better just to change your diet, try our HGH Stimulate, which helps to maintain healthy libido, take vitamin E and zinc to increase your libido in order to basically have the ability to function in that way? Or would you rather go ahead and just start right with something that could make you go blind and deaf?
Yeah.
And same thing. It's true with all these different drugs. A child comes down with ADD or ADHD, so we put them on a methylphenidate, which is the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol.
Schedule 2.
So we put them on a Schedule 2 drug to try to calm them down.
And then we wonder why it still has a hard time working when all they're eating is, high fructose corn syrup, dye-ridden, cereal every morning with homogenized, ultra-pasteurized milk. And we can't figure out why they're having all these health problems and why they can't focus and why they're all hyperactive. Maybe it's the food that's going in their body. Maybe it's the toxins that are having and exhibiting this effect on them. Maybe, like you said with Ozempic, maybe you need to start looking at your diet and get your weight under control. Here's the problem with Ozempic, and this is what everybody's found out now. It doesn't matter how much weight you lose, how much fat you lose on the drug. Once you come off of it eventually, if you haven't changed your diet and you're still eating crap, the weight comes right back on. I've seen this now with multiple people that have asked me about it. And I'm like, listen, your choice. I don't recommend it. It's something to do. And then they do it. They lose all this weight. Then they come off of it. They gain it all back again. It's not about a diet. It's about a lifestyle change. It's about eating clean on a regular basis, 80-20 rule. And if you need help burning fat, then that New Year's special that we put together in January, it's the first time we did it, New Year's, but it's the Pro Cut Core with the cinnamon extract and the berberine. In fact, the berberine right now is on sale for product of the week. This product right here, single-handedly by itself, we talked about it as far as what it does for the body.
It's an amazing product.
Berberine
I take
Ultimate,
it.
Dihydroberberine, DHB. It works so good at regulating blood sugar and burning body fat. I've had so many people that aren't even having issues with blood sugar, they start taking it to get their blood sugar even better and burn fat. And they're like, gosh, it's like a natural Ozempic without any side effects. And I'm like, that's what you're doing.
And again, we're making no claims whatsoever on this show today as far as any medical deals that people have. None. And if you're taking medical drugs or prescription drugs, never stop taking those based on the advice of anybody other than the doctor who gave you those products to take. And if he doesn't want to give you that advice, go to another medical doctor and ask him if he will give you some other types of choices. Very important not to stop taking prescription drugs without proper reduction as far as titrating the dosing and talking to the doctor who gave you those. And like I said, I had one guy come in the office years ago. We had the clinic. He had 25 prescriptions in a bag.
Told me that.
It was a brown paper grocery bag. I'll never forget it. He walked in. I said, "What's in that?" He dumps them on my desk. 25 different prescriptions. The compound there, you got literally millions of possible combinations there.
Millions.
And so, and they've never been tested together. That's
none
the problem.
Of them. That's the thing you guys got to understand with these prescription drugs. And this isn't conspiracy. This is a fact from the pharmaceutical companies. They'll admit this to you if you ask them. None of the drugs they ever put you on are ever used in conjunction with any other drugs. That's why
very rarely,
especially not to that degree. Most of these drugs have side effects. Well, then another drug's used to treat that side effect, and then that drug has a side effect. You have to have another drug to treat the side effect, and eventually you're on a dozen different drugs.
You remember that one fenfen that was out way back when? It caused heart valve damage.
Banned it now.
50% of the drugs that are approved by the Food and Drug Administration within 5 years either have their warning labels changed or are pulled completely off the market. And that's what's so funny when you see that.
Or if you have a pharmaceutical company that makes a vaccine that's not owned by BlackRock, the U.S. advises and the FDA advises not to take it anymore.
Our opinion.
Well, they admit it now. That we're recommending you don't take this vaccine now. We've had 17 adverse events. 17.
Well, you know, back in the 70s, there was a thing called the swine flu under Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted everybody to take the swine flu. And, yeah. And they had, I think they had less than 100 people had reaction to it. But I don't remember the exact number.
It was right around there. And they pulled it off the market. Most people die from it, too.
Oh, yeah. And some people were paralyzed for life.
Yep. All of a sudden, they said, yank it. Hmm? COVID vaccine, RNA gene therapy, Operation Warp Speed, Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca.
Oh, I've got a really good article. I have a good article I want to read on that, but I don't have time to read the article on that today. So we're going to go ahead and cover that.
That is the ironic part about it, though. When I'm looking at this article, how you have Pfizer and all that, they keep getting the green light for new updated RNA shots for COVID shots with millions of adverse events. Nobody wants to address it in the FDA. They're just ignoring it under the rug. It's so crazy to me.
Oh, by the way, the Pentagon has ordered the purge of DEI-themed books in the latest blow to wokes.
Nice.
Yeah.
DEI books.
Yeah, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion for all the trannies they wanted in the military to destroy our operational readiness with the military. In the Trump administration's latest blow to the wokes, the Pentagon on Friday instructed military leaders to conduct a sweeping review of all library materials across bases and academies with orders to remove any books promoting what the Department of Defense deemed divisive concepts and gender ideology. According to the internal memos reviewed by the Associated Press, commanders were told to promptly identify and withdraw any material that conflicts with the military's core mission with a deadline of May the 21st to complete the review. The directive comes amid a broader reorientation of the military's cultural and educational standards under Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, a prominent critic of DEI programming. Now I'm starting to understand why they hammered him so hard to get him out.
Yeah.
This guy does push-ups every day. He's military ready. He's in shape. He can probably pull an unconscious body out of a burning house and go over a 7-foot wall with a pit bull chasing him.
Yeah.
This guy's in great shape. And so he's actually a real man. You know, he does have a drinking problem, and now they don't want him in there. And of course, they say he has a drinking problem. He may not have a drinking problem.
I was just about to say, how do you know he didn't have a couple days where he ended up dealing with something, ended up drinking for a week, and all of a sudden now they've got him on record. Oh, he's got a drinking problem now.
Yeah.
You never know with a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially when you got people that are promoting positivity, promoting readiness, promoting all this stuff. And then all of a sudden it's, well, he's got this issue, this issue, this issue.
I mean, it says the book bans extend beyond college libraries to K-12 schools on U.S. military bases globally. The Department of Defense Education, which oversees these schools, has issued a list of prohibited children's books, many of which include LGBTQ themes or explore racial identity. Since the beginning of 2025, the federal government has seen what experts describe as a wholesale dismantling of DEI-related roles and dreams. Okay, here's the thing. Why don't we go talk to the people at Newark?
Yeah. How's that working out?
How's that DEI working out for you right now? I'm just asking you a question up there, boys and girls, that run that doggone air traffic control center up there. How's your DEI people being promoted who've never even known anything about aircraft or how airplanes fly, and they're trying to tell airplanes how to land now, and they're basically DEI hires? How's that working out for you now? Three shutdowns in 1 week. I mean, are you kidding me?
That's bad.
What a nightmare place to have to fly out of.
Well, I appreciate you guys. You need anything, the Berberine Ultimate on sale for product of the week right now at Team Health Masters. You guys saw it here, 12% off on the product. And also, to be sure to sign up for the weekly newsletter on thebrowershow.com. You can go right there at the top and go in and click on the Brower Show. There it is. get updates right here. Boom. Put your name, email address, Brewer's Show, Health Masters. Click which one you want. I always say do both of them. Subscribe and get them sent right to your email. We appreciate you, my friends. We'll be back on the show tomorrow, as always, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Y'all have a blessed day.
Got to pray for you again yesterday. Thank you so much for your support. Thanks for kind of putting up with us during the show.
Thanks for the
today.
Emails and him bringing his cattlebell in his glass.
I'll try not to do that again. But thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. I love you guys so much, and I love praying for you. You guys are family. I got to talk to a listener yesterday out of Winter Park. Great lady. Okay. So it's been fun days, fun times here at healthmasters.com, and we hope you enjoy a little bit of antics we put up with on the show here, because we're trying our best to keep this show as entertaining as possible. I love you guys. Remember, Jesus is the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. Always stay up with him, and always keep your prayers up to date. I love you guys.